The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
Stafford takes it.
If you don't root for this guy, something's wrong with you.
And I'm going to have an opportunity to be in another one that I've always wanted to play in.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from Los Angeles, home of Super Bowl 56.
At SoFi Stadium.
Today's guests. Caesar Sportsbook Chief Trends Officer Trey Wingo, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, plus NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Yes. Welcome Let's to go. This edition of the Rich Eisen Show, Los Angeles, California. We're here every day. Yeah. Now the whole world's coming here.
Yeah.
That's how we're rolling.
Where's everybody been?
Super Bowl 56. It's Super Bowl 56, Super Bowl week here in Los Angeles, California, just up the road from the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see everybody here. Glad that you are with us on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85, this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. Hey, folks, if you're new to this show, certainly on our terrestrial radio network, this is our bread and butter. This is our week. It's good times here on Odyssey, and we say hello to our podcast listeners, those who get us on YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, what's happening?
What's up, Christopher?
Let's go.
Good to see you. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. What's up, Mikey D?
Ready for the Rams to win.
Here we go. Says a Rams season ticket holder.
Call it a shot.
TJ Jefferson, light the candle. It's Super Bowl week.
Hey, it's Super Bowl week, and this thing smells like Fruit Loops, okay?
Okay.
It's great. Whoa. It really does. It smells like Fruit Loops.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you.
I don't mean to get anybody upset, but we have added a new cast member this week.
Wow.
For Super Bowl 56. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on the Rich Eisen Show set and the Rich Eisen Show. We've had him before, but the Vince Lombardi Trophy is right here on the Rich Eisen Show set.
Hey. How you doing, Vinny?
As he is known within the NFL offices.
Precious.
The VLT.
VLT.
It's kind of crazy. It kind of knocked me over with a feather when I first heard that from NFL Network.
That is called the VLT.
Or NFL employees like, hey, the VLT, where's the VLT? Who's going to hoist the VLT? And I'm like, are we talking about a sandwich? Like, what is that about? But that's the VLT is what it's called.
A vegan lettuce and tomato?
I'm telling you, man, it's so great to be doing this show right now. And I see my reflection in it right here.
It's a beautiful thing.
I feel like Tom Brady. I feel like Tom Brady.
Well, he's got a few of them, Rich.
Rich, he's got a little bit more hair, I mean.
Thanks, Chris.
Wow.
Can Chris live from the Ball Brotherhood?
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like, can he live? He's having a moment with the trophy right now.
Excuse me. Give me a second.
I want us.
I'm losing myself in the reflection of the Vince Lombardi Trophy here on the Rich Eisen Show set.
It is such a cool looking.
It's pretty sweet.
I was not expecting that when I walked in this morning.
I turned around and I was like,
whoa, what's happening?
It's called Perk of the Jump. Chris, you know, there are many other, I guess it's like that line from Full Metal Jackets. There are many shows like this, but this one is mine.
This one is mine. Right.
And for all those who take in this program, I'm sorry, I will allow myself a very rare occasion to flex. This is what happens when you have the host of NFL Network hosting one of these shows.
Yeah, man, I get it.
But Chris, why are you surprised?
I have friends.
We have the trophy on set every year for Super Bowl.
Yeah, but this year, it's in our house.
It's our house.
Oh, that's true.
Whose house?
Like our house.
That's it. Whose house?
Very well done.
We didn't even practice or rehearse that. We just all knew. You know, I could have said Rich's house. Who knew?
You know what?
Who knew?
It's kind of funny that somebody who doesn't leave his house and you and two guys who sell their tickets to the Rams house got it all right. I've been to more Rams games than I think all you guys put together this year.
Rich, I don't like going out in the public because the public's there. Okay.
Let's start off on a positive note. We're all here. Hey. Our guest list is slamming. We've got the Vince Lombardi Trophy here, and we're thrilled that you're with us wherever you're taking in this show, watching us or listening to us. I'm not an all 22 guy. I'm just not an all 22 guy. And so I am always focused on storylines. I always say the NFL is a narrative generating machine, and the Super Bowl week is where we collect a bunch of narratives. We collect a whole host of narratives. And you folks, kind enough to take in shows like this one or take in anything this week on the radio, television, streaming, however you take it in with a podcast, what have you. You're going to hear these storylines over and over and over again. And I have culled my own list that I've been cultivating over the last several days, because I'll be honest with you, didn't spend much of the season cultivating the storylines for the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
No.
The Bengals are in the Super Bowl, okay? So
150-1 shot.
Had this been Rodgers versus Mahomes, had this been Brady versus even, you know, name the team that you didn't think was in it other than the Bengals, we would have had it all set up Brady versus whomever, okay? But I've got right here in my hand Super Bowl 56 storylines. I do this every year to kick off the Super Bowl week. The top 10 storylines of this year's Super Bowl that you're going to be either into or totally sick and tired of by the time toe meets ball on Sunday here in Los Angeles, California. Mike, I need your finest NFL Films music, please, to get us all fired up.
Let's go.
Here we go. Number 10 on the list of Super Bowl 56 storylines. Bengals fans have been waiting a very long time for this. Yes, the Bengals are in the Super Bowl, as I keep mentioning. And the thing that's pretty remarkable about the Bengals finally making this Super Bowl is that they are just, it's pretty wild. The Bengals are just one of five teams with multiple Super Bowl appearances and zero wins. And this fan base has been waiting a long time. It's the first time that they have not seen Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. As you know, the first two times they've made it, they did. And we'll talk about that with Chris Collinsworth in hour number three when he joins us. But the Bengals fans have been waiting forever for this. And you're already hearing the storyline in the fact that there was an 86-year-old gentleman who was filmed by somebody, I guess his son or grandson, crying when the Bengals made the Super Bowl. And TJ Houshmandzadeh hooked the guy up with tickets to come.
Yeah.
So you're going to be hearing this a lot. That's number 10 on the list. Number 9 on the list is Los Angeles's long wait for football. Yeah, when the NFL Network first came on the air in 2003, we were the only NFL entity in Los Angeles, California. And people were all like saying, why are you here? And you couldn't say it's because the boss of NFL Network, Steve Bornstein, didn't want to move out of Los Angeles. You couldn't say that because people were like, what are you talking about? No, the answer actually was, in all seriousness, hey, Steve, that this was the idea for the NFL to plant a flag on the West Coast. Sam Farmer, the longtime L.A. Times reporter, was the only guy at the Super Bowl media day or the Super Bowl press conference with the commissioner asking the commissioner whether it was Tagliabue or Goodell about the return of football to Los Angeles. Everyone's like looking at him like, what are you talking about? It's never going to happen. Not only is football back in Los Angeles, but there's a $5.5 billion stadium that the Super Bowl is being played in. And one of the teams is one of two teams that plays in Los Angeles.
Crazy.
So you're going to be hearing this quite a bit this week. That's number 9. Number 8 is all the stars on the L.A. Rams. All the star players on the L.A. Rams. And this will be known throughout the entire week as quote-unquote Hollywood. Okay? There's going to be a ton of NFL media types who are just going to be using the phrase Hollywood. This is a Hollywood town. It's a town that loves its stars. Lakers, Dodgers, loves its stars, and so do the stars love sports. And this is going to be the grab bag for talking about all the stars that are on L.A., from Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald to Odell Beckham Jr., so on and so forth. Hollywood, you're going to hear that. It's going to be a catch-all. That's number 8. Number 7, an offshoot of this, is the LSU connection in this year's Super Bowl. Odell Beckham Jr. is in the Super Bowl. Andrew Whitworth, 40-year-old man, in the Super Bowl again. Those guys, as we know, went to LSU, and my gosh, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, LSU. I didn't even look it up if there were more LSU guys, but those are the four you're going to be hearing about right there. The LSU connection is going to be number 7. Anybody brings up Burrow and Chase and Odell handing out money to, I think, both of them, right? Did they hand out cash?
I think
you're going to be seeing video of all that at some point this week. That's number 7. Then number 6, offshoot of this, are the quarterback wide receiver connections and how special Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase was. And we'll be hearing this week about the Bengals had a choice at the draft at 5th overall. And then we're thinking about Penei Sewell or anybody to protect Joe Burrow. And they went ahead and they got Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to hear the question to Joe Burrow. Did you make sure that it was Ja'Marr Chase? Did you tell him to draft Ja'Marr Chase? Were you the one who actually drafted Ja'Marr Chase? And then, of course, the fact that Stafford comes to Los Angeles and hooks up with Cooper Kupp like Cooper Kupp's Megatron. And he had a season damn near Megatron, a triple crown season. Almost beat Megatron. Calvin Johnson, who was on Friday's show, his record for most yards in a season, and almost did it in 16 games, too. And what an incredible connection we see between quarterback and receiver in this game for both teams. That's number six. Number five on the list are the coaches. Did you know Zach Taylor used to be on Sean McVay's staff?
Oh, man, really?
If you don't know
no
that,
way.
You will.
Okay.
No way.
Did you know Zach Taylor's father-in-law is Mike Sherman? Did you know that?
No, did not know that.
No, stop.
Mike Sherman, former Packers coach. Zach Taylor's father-in-law. Did you know that many other coaches have been in the league from Sean McVay's tree? And the fact that the guy's as old as a sapling is pretty wild. And that Sean McVay is the winningest Los Angeles Rams coach in the history of Rams postseason football. And the fact that he's going to maybe win his first Super Bowl and he's barely 5 years old in terms of actually coaching. These guys' relationship will be, the depths will be plumbed if they already haven't been. That's number five. Number four is the guy, and you're going to hear this question about him, is he the best defensive player ever? And he doesn't get a lot of run. He doesn't get a lot of run because he doesn't do a lot of talking, and he's not in a lot of commercials. But number 99 in your program, number one in your Los Angeles Rams heart, Aaron Donald is going to be coming for Joe Burrow. And when the X's and O's come down to it, it's all going to be about, is Joe Burrow going to be protectable? Is he protected enough? And the problem for that is number 99 is a personal wrecker of games and dreams. And then we're going to find out more about his journey and who he is and the fact that Von Miller plays alongside of him. That plays into the Hollywood aspect of it as well. That's number eight is connected to number four in terms of storylines on the list. Aaron Donald. And speaking of nines, that's number three. Both quarterbacks wearing the same number, and we'll be talking about a pair of nines being number one aces. This is only the second matchup of first overall drafted quarterbacks against each other in the history of the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning and Cam Newton's in Super Bowl 50 is the other one. Talking about different journeys. One kid is in his second year in the NFL, and he's in the Super Bowl. The other guy in his 13th year in the NFL, it's his first Super Bowl. Nobody's ever come in to this game with more passing yards and touchdowns on his resume, making his first Super Bowl start, than Matthew Stafford. And that's number two on the list, is Matthew Stafford individually and what this means for him. Legacies, that's what's made in Super Bowls. Legacies are made or born. The fact that he toiled for so long in Detroit and didn't win a playoff game, 0-3 in Detroit for his playoff career. He's 3-0 already for the Los Angeles Rams coming into this Super Bowl. The idea, does Matthew Stafford need this game? That's the phrase you're going to be hearing quite a bit. Does he need it to make the Hall of Fame? Is making this game enough? Are we now in house money territory for Matthew Stafford? Does he need this win to put a bust of Matthew Stafford into the Pro Football Hall of Fame bust room? That's number two on the list. And then number one storyline of Super Bowl 56 is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, buddy.
Kid from Athens, Ohio, self-made, went to the Ohio State, home state kid going to the Ohio State, and Urban Meyer says, you know what, JT Barrett's here, and then we're going to just go with Dwayne Haskins because we saw what he did coming off the bench at Ann Arbor, and we're going to stick with him. Got 50 touchdowns out of him, no question about it, but Joe Burrow goes to LSU and gets 60 touchdowns in his final year there. Puts a ring on his finger, and he's so brash and young and so damn likable. And then the question about Joe Burrow leading the Bengals to the Super Bowl in just year two, and how transformative and an athlete he can be for the town and the state, as everybody hoped. And can he get this win to become the first ever Heisman Trophy National Championship Super Bowl winning quarterback in the history of the sport and the position, which is what he would be. Seventh youngest to win it overall if he wins it. Can you imagine there is a Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl parade in year two of Joe Burrow? And that's where the Brady comparisons are going to start. That's what we're going to say. Can he catch Brady with a win? You know, and Brady just left. With 7 Super Bowl rings and 10 appearances, and the only way that he can be caught is somebody at this stage of his career and this young winning in his first opportunity, like Brady did in year 2 of his career. It's all set up. Those are your Super Bowl 56 storylines.
Nice.
Whew. Yeah, I'm fired up.
Did I miss one? I missed one. Hit me with the drop. I know I don't have anything planned. I know you don't have the drop planned.
Oh, no.
I did miss one. I know there's always going to be one. Here we go.
We need one more.
Thank you, George.
All right, we'll get one more.
I mean, the Bengals are George Clooney's favorite team, so it's only fitting that I make it a Bengal storyline. And the last storyline that I think you're going to hear is the forgotten group. The forgotten group. The overlooked group.
X Factors?
Can I guess?
Sure.
The Bengals defense?
Bingo.
Hey.
That's why you're TJ friggin' Jefferson.
Holler at your boy.
I just did. Bengals defense, the forgotten unit. Yeah, the one who picked off Tannehill. Nobody's talking about them at all. They're the one who picked off Mahomes. They're the ones who did in the overtime of the AFC Championship game what the Bills could not do the week before. Get the ball back for your offense. The coin flip did not decide everything because the Bengals defense stood its ground. Bengals defense versus Rams offense. That's your last storyline. That's the bonus. Couldn't crack the top 10, but it's there.
I like it.
Here we go. All right, guys. What do you think?
I like it a lot.
We're off and running.
I love it.
Storylines in the books.
Love it.
You know what we got to do? An overreaction Monday. Wingo's coming to the studio. I've never called him the CTO of Caesar Sportsbook, but he's the Chiefs Trends Officer.
One of the greatest Chiefs titles
Trends
of all time.
Officer.
I don't even know what that means. But
well, we'll ask Trey when he joins us. Dan Patrick will be here in person.
DP.
Which means the Vince Lombardi trophy will have his fingerprints on. He always touches the trophy. Because he's Dan Patrick.
Well, you don't do that.
Well, no. You see,
because that's what Chai's in, Chris.
Because he's Dan, because he can, because he's handed it out. Before for NBC,
like one of the unwritten rules,
and you know why it is because he knows it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's why he does it.
Yes,
that's
bingo. Why he knows it makes me uncomfortable, so he will do it. And I do have what happened. What happened to the gloves?
There are gloves over there.
There were, but they're not on my desk anymore. Who took them?
I don't know. They're over there.
Oh my gosh.
I saw them this morning.
Well, we need to find it before Dan shows up.
Yes.
All right. And then Chris Collinsworth, who's calling the game with Al Michaels, who, by the way, is our first hour guest on tomorrow's show.
Hey now.
So Chris will join us, and we'll go down memory lane because he's played in the other Bengals Super Bowls. Chris Collinsworth, man. Jamar Chase is breaking all his rookie playoff catching records.
That's a storyline, too. Just like Collinsworth being the announcer.
Yeah,
now,
no, I know. That's not going to crack
Bengals
top 10. But it'll be number one when we
talk about it. Yeah,
well, certainly in hour 3 of this show. Certainly in hour 3. And 844-204-RICH is the number to dial at any point in time that you want to have a conversation with us this week. We've got guests galore. We'll update you on our guest list. They're being updated as we speak. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We are off and running on this Super Bowl 56 week on the Rich Eisen Show from Los Angeles, California. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, you got anything here? Because I have something.
What do you got?
It was quick.
So I'm thinking of a poll question, right? This is the 8th Super Bowl in Los Angeles, and I'm trying to think, like, what's the best L.A. Super Bowl? There's out of the 7 so far.
Okay.
Do you want a list? Do you want me to run them
down
for you?
Well, the first two were here, so, right?
Super Bowl 1 was here.
Super Bowl 2 was not here, huh?
Super Bowl 2 is not here.
All right, Super Bowl 1 was here. The LA Coliseum.
Super Bowl 7.
I mean,
seven,
the Rose Bowl, though.
Super Bowl 7 was the Dolphins.
By the way, I'm not like Mike. Remember, Michael Vartan would know this stuff off the top of his head. Remember that? The actor.
This is Super Bowl 7. Okay, this was the Dolphins capping the undefeated season.
Oh, this was where Garo Yupremian.
Great name.
There's that
weird pass attempt.
Do you know that if he had kicked the field goal through the uprights, the final score would have been 17-0.
Oh, which was their record that
which
year.
Would have matched their record, but instead it was 14-7 final because the whole thing got screwed up.
Yep.
And then Washington scored the touchdown.
Yep.
Okay, so what else?
There's that one. There's Super Bowl 11 was Madden, the Raiders.
Okay.
Finally won.
Yep.
Let's see, what, 14 was the 4th Steelers championship, beat the Rams here.
The Rams played in the Coliseum?
They played at
the Rose Bowl. So that's why, again, it was not in their home stadium.
Yeah, they played at the Rose Bowl.
Home city.
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay, then we have 17, which was Washington, John Riggins, huge game at the Rose Bowl, beat the Dolphins.
What a day he had. Okay.
21, Phil Sims, Giants blew out the Broncos at the Rose Bowl. Halftime show was George Burns and Mickey Rooney.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Are you serious?
That's what it says. The Grambling State and USC Marching Band, Disney characters.
Yeah, that's before they
and,
got
But George Burns and Mickey Rooney are the polar opposite of Eminem and Dr. Dre.
They're not the same. Yeah,
They're not singing California Love.
Okay. 27 was that first of the Cowboys championships.
Yeah.
The 52-17.
So there haven't been very good games here is what you're saying.
Not great games. I don't know. What's the most memorable, maybe? Is that the best way to put it?
Go for it.
I don't know. I was just trying to think of...
I don't know. They haven't been great games. The bar's set pretty low.
The bar's kind of
low. Yeah, I mean...
Right? But I mean, how about this? Has there been a lead change in the second half of a Los Angeles Super Bowl? How about looking that up? Don't worry. Don't do that. I'll put that on the plate. I'm going to NFL Network later today. I'll put that on their plate.
A lead change in a second half.
Of an LA Super Bowl. Based on what you're saying to me...
Doesn't seem like it.
It's been a long time since one.
I mean, I could easily look this up.
Don't worry about it. All right. I need your focus because we're about to do Overreaction Monday, right? Okay, that's what we're about to do here. Very good. That's how we're making our way. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our terrestrial radio outfit, NetSuite by Oracle is a sponsor of the Rich Eisen Show, and we love saying that. Ready to upgrade? Go to netsuite.com/rich 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls here on the program. I'm just fired up. It's just wow. I mean, as soon as I'm done here today, heading up the road for the NFL Network media night program. Now, normally this is, you know, when we first started doing this, we would be at the stadium, and that was a nightmare for you, bro, because you had like microphones at every podium. And you had to open them up, and we had to hear the questions, and that was when you were on the clock, man. Yeah. And Dion was at a microphone roaming through.
Irv, or they would be down there. Mooch would go down for the coach.
Right, and we'd never done this before, but there were like GoPros kind of on every spot, right? Yeah. Except for the quarterback and the coach, and we had the whole podium set up there with the camera zipping in.
I think 7-7.
Oh, my gosh, and we had to know who was podium worthy and who was not. You know,
and there was like an hour. How long? Like, an hour
and some and coaches wanted to keep some guys off the podium because they just do an hour of anybody asking questions, and anybody with a pulse could get like a press pass pretty much to this thing. Yeah. If you didn't have a criminal record and you had a pulse, you were getting a credential to this thing. And don't you remember there was somebody from Mexico from
Azteca,
and she would show up in a wedding dress and propose to Brady and stuff like that.
I think she's actually in jail now.
Are you serious?
There was like some Ponzi scheme, I think, with her.
Well, I don't know, man. It was just wild.
The coolest thing in those was when they would take the team picture right there. Remember, they would have it in like an end zone. I don't know if you were. I mean, you had to.
Well,
remember,
yeah, so they would show up either before or right after they were done with the hour long meeting. So yeah, they would have an hour long media session, and then we would stay on the air in the 45 minutes in between when there was lunch for the media, because this was done during the day.
Yep.
And then then another hour for the next team that would show up, and they would take their photographs and whatever, and then take the same podium. So the coach would have the same podium in the second media availability as the first. So we were like, is Belichick going to be leaving a note for John Fox? You know, like what does he do? Like, or, you know, Brady leaving a note for DeLome? This was the first time we did it.
It's true.
You know, and we were just having fun with it.
It was.
And then suddenly, I don't know, somebody at the NFL Network or the NFL is like, this should be at night.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
This is like, this should be at night. Like, who's doing this during the day? And so they started doing it at night, and it was a whole big to-do. That's when we started sending J.B. Smoove, speaking of Trey Wingo and Caesar Sportsbook, we sent J.B. Smoove into five media nights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On behalf of the Rich Eisen Show?
Definitely. Yeah, he did not do Miami, but he did the
And so he did a whole host of them, and we would then, it was amazing, and it was fun. Now with COVID, you know, teams aren't coming in, and there's not something together, you know, but what... The advent of what they did a couple of years ago when it was a media night, getting the two quarterbacks together at the same time, they're still doing that. And the two coaches are getting together at the same time today. And because there's only one sit-down, NFL Network is getting one interview and ESPN is getting another interview, and it's being shown on both platforms. And I'm doing the quarterbacks.
Nice.
So I've got both nines sitting down together.
Amazing.
And I'll be honest with you. It's not my favorite interviews to do multiple people at once from satellites and whatever. It's just, how do you, like, what's my opening question to these guys?
Hey, Super Bowl, huh?
Hey, you come here often?
How about you? How about you guys, huh? Hey, like, honestly, like, what do you say to two guys who, do they know each other even?
You could do that.
Like, I mean, definitely, like Cincinnati and the Rams didn't play.
Introduce them, Rich. Like, Oprah. Joe Matt.
Like,
Matt
have you
Joe.
Guys, like, that, yeah, that's to me is my opening gamut. It's like, have you guys ever met? Have you guys ever met before?
Definitely not. They've definitely never met.
And if you haven't met yet, can we get you to, like, hate each other and say something right now? So
yeah, talk some smack. Let's go.
They need to go run the beach. But that's open.
Like,
what if
these guys are all, like, talked out? You know what I mean? They're talked out.
But it's only Monday, so they're not, like, talked out
yet. I don't know. Burrow's already spoken to the media, like, five times. And he's got, like, one of those backgrounds on the Zoom, like, blurring him. You know, it looks weird. It looks like those guys that pop up on the TikToks, you know, and with the backgrounds. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, I saw one this morning.
So, all right. So, is that my opening gambit later on?
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, if they were just two random people, right? Two friends of yours, and you were having a dinner party, you introduce them. So, yeah, start to kick it off like that.
Do I ask which one is the middle? Am I the middle?
I'm the middle. Well, you're the middle. You're directing the conversation.
You're the middle.
And they're at the heads of the table.
You're taking shoulder on both of them.
So I'm the middle.
You're the middle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just because you can't just say, Joe, first one's for you. And then Matt just sits there.
You're facilitating.
Matt, now you respond. And now, Joe, I will ask you a question. Joe, you first. Matt, you next. Like, you've got to mix it up.
Do you need us to come? Because I know personally I'm good at icebreakers. I'm available depending on the time.
Can you get Ashton to just pop in?
I mean, it's his birthday. It's his birthday today, so I don't know. He might be busy, you know. So
here's what you do. Here's a storyline that I don't think you've heard about.
Okay, Chris. Okay? Yes.
Matthew Stafford went to high school with Clayton Kershaw.
Wow.
Okay?
Let me write down that.
Like,
no.
Write that down. Okay. Look, I don't know if you guys knew that.
So
you need to find out.
Who's the most famous guy you've been to high school with?
Exactly. Joe, who's the Clayton Kershaw that you went to high school with?
So that's Matt's got the edge.
You know what I mean?
So should I create, like, who's got the edge?
Yeah, like a tail of the tape.
All right.
Yeah.
Matthew. Joe prefers Matthew. This is good. Matthew, Joe Burrow's dad coached Kurt Warner with the Iowa Barnstormers.
There you go.
Who's the most famous person your dad's ever coached?
Was Matthew Stafford's dad?
I don't know. See, I'm opening yourself up. Rich, my dad was a plumber. What are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Well, who is your dad's number one apprentice?
No, who's the most famous person your dad ever worked with?
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
And it can't be as more famous than Kurt Warner. Oh, Joe's got the edge there.
Yeah.
Do I do that? But then I'm making myself the interview.
Well, I mean,
right? Don't you want to hear from the quarterbacks before the Super Bowl?
We're going to like hear from them all week.
I know what I mean.
So, like, it's your job to kind of be funny and like get in there. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Middle.
Matthew Stafford's father's name is John.
Okay. What has he done?
His dad went to graduate school at Georgia.
Okay. We know what he does.
Then his family moved to Texas.
Well, that's where he met Clayton Kershaw.
Right. Doesn't really say much about it. His dad doesn't have his own Wikipedia page, unfortunately.
But Jimmy Burrow does, I'm sure. You know. Okay. This is the way I'm kind of workshopping it here.
Yeah, just trying to help you out.
How about this, since it's going to be on ESPN, which is your least favorite analyst on ESPN? Which one breaking down your film in the first 2 years of your career?
Has no clue what they're talking about.
And see if that makes it. That's not in the spirit of collegial.
It's not in collegial spirit.
So it's again, whoever's interviewing the coaches for ESPN, that appears on NFL Network's Media Night Show.
Something tells me
Burrow would answer that question.
Well, yeah, he's a very honest guy.
How much money do you make, Joe? To know that. So, what is so out of your?
We can tell you how much.
What is so far out of your price range that it could be fake?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the most you would spend on some money?
Like, what's the most fake thing you've ever bought, even though you can afford it, Matthew? Right? I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, Matthew Stafford has made a lot of money.
I know that.
Like, Joe Burrow makes a lot. Matthew Stafford has made a lot of money.
Okay.
He rich.
So, we think you look like Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
Joe. And you, Matthew, look like
Haley Joel Osment. Yeah.
Who wins in a fight?
Macaulay
from the
Culkin.
Kid movies.
Yes.
Home Alone.
Or the Sixth Sense kid.
The Sixth Sense kid.
Yeah, that's smart.
Who sees dead people.
I think that's really good.
Which one wins a Super Bowl fight?
Hold on, I'm going to put that up as a poll.
See, these are things people don't want to know about the Super Bowl.
I'm just trying to
be entertaining to get through the segment.
Who wins in a fight?
You realize one of Joe Burrow's grandmothers scored 82 points in a basketball game?
I did not know that. How many points has your grandmother scored, Matthew?
Yes, 82 points in a Mississippi State high school game.
I think Joe is a really good basketball player.
Yeah, I think so.
Joe Burrow is the most interesting man in the world already. It's unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable. So I'm going to get both of them together, and they're both going to sit down and, you know.
This is going to be great.
I have no idea how it's going to go.
This is going to be great.
So tune in tonight on NFL Network.
And the offer stands. We're available.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You're so kind.
Yeah, you know.
You're so very kind for that.
We're helping out.
Man of the people. Man of the people.
Who does win in a fight, though? Macaulay Culkin or the Sixth Sense kid?
The Sixth Sense kid sees dead people, pal.
But does that help you fight?
Spoiler alert. Don't go down that road, man.
I think Macaulay Culkin.
By the way, that's a great Christmas movie. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm forgetting about.
Yeah, that's true.
Which Bruce Willis movie it is.
They
both can be.
Stop it.
The tougher the opponent, the more you need a game plan, folks. BioNTech and Pfizer remind you to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Just throwing that out there here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Trey Wingo is going to be joining us. You know, I should ask Dan that question. Like, what's the first question you ask these guys? That's my guy. I mean, that's you know, I got to go to one of my first Sherpas of my career. Sherpa. Dan, what would be the first question you ask the two of them together? That's it. See, it's fixed.
It's fixed.
And then if they say, what sort of stupid question is that?
You say Dan.
And I'm like, ask, blame Dan Patrick. Don't blame me. Blame Dan Patrick. All right, let's go to phone lines. 844-204-RICH. Nathan in L.A., you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, good to talk to you guys again.
Good to be here, Nathan. Thank you for having us on your ear gate or watching us here in the home of the Super Bowl. Thank you.
Well, I would say welcome back. Welcome to L.A., but not for you.
It's a home game, pal. We're here. We're not going anywhere. We're not building a set. We're here. We just brought the Vince Lombardi trophy with us. That's it. We just said, hey, VLT, you want to come hang out at TRES? And they're like, sure. That's the conversation I had with an inanimate object. What's on your mind, Nathan?
What's on my mind is I'm following up with what you say. There's no more Hollywood story, if you think about it, than the Rams. There's so many, like, characters. You start with Odell Beckham, which, as a Giant fan, I could be bitter, but I'm really not, because mm-hmm. Beckham has found the ideal place for him. I can't think of a better place for him to be, for his style of who he is, and he's a friend of LeBron's anyway. Then you have two different veteran stories. You have Von Miller, who's on the last legs of his career, and he's pulled away from his wife and young child to go win a Super Bowl and return to Denver. Perhaps.
Well, I think that's a little overdramatic there, Nate.
Who's very
Nathan, I think that's a little over. I mean, it seemed like it's Von's choice instead of Sophie's. I mean, like
no,
that was
I didn't mean to tell
that was
like
very
that
was very ripped. That was ripped from his baby. Okay, no, I appreciate the idea. I mean, you got Jalen Ramsey, you've got all sorts of guys like that. And thanks for the call, Nathan, and welcome to Super Bowl week. I mean, the Super Bowl week will be a constant reminder of we're here too, say the Cincinnati Bengals. That's what the Super Bowl week's going to be all about. We're here too. And some of the players on the Bengals may wind up saying that after the conversation is all
Joe Burrow,
about
Matthew
Joe
Stafford,
Burrow. Right. It's going to be all that. And I'm not saying by the way, we here in the NFL media for the Super Bowl are, we love to talk about distractions because once the distraction actually keeps getting talked about, that means that we're a factor. We're talking about stuff, but it's not distracting anybody. As a matter of fact, many of these Bengals would be just like, this fine. Keep it the way that it is. Don't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, they want to be overlooked.
Talk about that absolutely. Stuff. And Zach Taylor each day can play that card. Nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks about it. I mean, nobody trusts our ability to come in here and shock the world. We're in the Rams' house, whose house, the whole bit like that. And just once again, just to remind everybody, and I'll keep repeating this, I was in the stadium. I was in SoFi Stadium the day for the NFC Championship game, the day where Del Tufo was doing something for somebody else, and Brockman sold his tickets for probably what can put his kid through school for the year. And, you know, but I was there.
No comment.
Folks, I was there, and they put the AFC Championship game on the board right up there on that Oculus.
Yeah.
That beautiful, beautiful ring that's over the entire circumference of the stadium. And we were watching the game. And every single time the Bengals did something well, which in the second half and overtime was a lot, the fans in the stands, Niners and Rams fans, were cheering like crazy. Because they're like, yeah, we don't want the Chiefs. And now it's be careful what you wish for. And that's going to be the Bengals mantra all week long. All week long. All
right. Hey, so we were talking real quick, Red. We were talking about second half lead changes in LA Super Bowl.
Oh, you have that number, huh?
Yeah, someone, hold on, I want to shout them out real quick. Miami Must Melt on Twitter. I don't know who that is. But in Super Bowl, let's see, Steelers Rams, the Rams led 13-10 at the half. And then the third quarter opened with Terry Bradshaw hitting Lynn Swan for 47 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers scored 21 in the second half. So that was a lead change.
You know what's kind of rare, too, for Von Miller, who's on our show on Wednesday, is a non-quarterback winning an MVP award for the Super Bowl. A Super Bowl MVP winning non-quarterback.
Doesn't happen very often. A couple times.
What's rare is to see that player play in another Super Bowl.
That's probably never happened.
That's untrue. It's happened a lot, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ray Lewis, as you know, played in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he played in the 49ers.
Ray Lewis won it in the Ravens' first Super Bowl,
right,
and then played in another one, right, as you know. Von Miller's about to do it. Malcolm Smith is another one. It appears, I'm just doing this off the top of my head here, Santonio Holmes is one. Another one.
Well, I was thinking about just defenders.
So defenders.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis is about maybe it. Because you're not running backs like Terrell Davis and Smith, Emmett yeah. Smith. Yeah. There you go. It's a rare list. Somebody who's a defender playing in a Super Bowl as a already won MVP. I mean,
we're going to hit on this later in the week, but X factors. You talk about a guy like Von Miller is going to be a.
He can't out act, but he can't be an X factor. That's like a Mariucci X
yeah,
factor.
Yeah, but he's not.
You cannot name a
Super
Bowl
MVP
as an X factor.
He's not the first guy you think of when you think about the Rams defense. You think of Aaron Donald. You think of Jalen Ramsey, and then you like Von Miller's third or fourth on that list.
You got to go deeper than that, though. For an X factor, it's got to be some guy like you, where you got to look down and say, well, "Who the hell is that person?" That's to me for an X factor.
I don't know,
you know what would be an X factor? Would be on even Weddle.
I was just about to say Weddle would be like
Weddle would be more of an X factor.
Well, because he was on his couch a month ago.
That's what I'm saying. Von Miller's a Super Bowl MVP who's playing his lights out right now.
But as a guy you don't think of first when you think of the Rams.
That's true.
That's my point.
So he's more of a B factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know when they come up with X factor anyway, but okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. More of your phone calls. Trey Wingo and Dan Patrick making their way to the studio as well.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hey everybody, we've got a new merchandise store, RichEisenShop.com. We've got shirts, hats, and a mug. Not just any shirts, inspirational shirts. Show your respect for others by wearing the word on your chest, or show your love of our show by wearing our logo on your chest. Get a trucker hat, running man on the front, party in the back. And get our famous mug that celebrities five-finger discount for themselves when they come on the show. RichEisenShop.com. Order now.
Just to show you the quality of the product. Hold on a minute. Here we go.
Oh, just tilt it. Just yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It holds a decent amount.
There you go.
Great. And it doesn't leak. It's substantial. You heard how it hit the table.
It's a solid cup.
It's a solid mug.
I mean, not leaking is a good thing.
And right hand, righties and lefties can both use it. Yeah. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah. Yep. Plus, and you know what also it is too? It's a perfect color, white. So when the coffee's on the side, it's a nice little stain. You could see like, okay, you know.
Got to wash this out a little bit.
For the
ladies out there, the lipstick looks good on the one.
Very good, yeah. There you go.
You might not want that on your cup, though, you know.
On the mug. There you go, right there.
You might get caught up in the mix.
RichEisenShop.com.
It wasn't me.
RichEisenShop.com.
Wasn't me.
Oh baby,
Super Bowl week!
I flew in over SoFi. It looks pretty sick. Yesterday morning,
what's on the roof?
Nothing was on the roof actually because it was like the day. But all the parking lots have the
Mike.
It's they're ready.
You know what you're the best in the world at?
They
Mike
set up the perimeter. Yeah.
Oh, that was
flexing about flying.
No, Mike is the best in the world at getting a picture of SoFi he flies over.
I got one. I'll send it. I got
without
a
question. Now, I mean, you started when it was just a hole.
Rams. Are you retweeted him?
Are you always on the window
side?
Or are you like leaning over? Are you busting somebody's personal space to go shoot the shot?
I'm predictive. I figure out
ahead of time.
Yeah, because I know the airlines. You can figure out which side you want to be on.
That's true.
You got to work on this. Yeah. This is like a skill.
Like if you're in American or Delta or United, they fly in the same path.
That's you got to know.
So you got to know what side you're on depending on the path.
You know
the
which runway you're coming in on?
I don't, but like someone like Mike, I believe, does.
It has nothing to do with airflow. It has nothing to do with sometimes you're going to have to come in from here, coming from there. This
the
runway gets shut down.
It's not a foolproof system.
It's not foolproof. It's ridiculous.
Not foolproof.
But I have gotten a lot of good.
But Mike, yeah, he's very good.
I'll send him one. We can show it.
See, this is. While we're on the subject, one of my favorite tweets of the weekend was Mike Del Tufo sending out a GIF of
Steve Harvey
like staring at his phone, upset. Like it's like this is the look you have when people don't like or respond to your tweets, but they like or respond to others. And I just said maybe it's the content.
I mean, Rich, you got a point.
I gotta say, Rich, that was done.
Yeah, that was good.
But I mean, I also think it's the audience.
I appreciated that.
Some of the audience doesn't get my They don't get my comedy.
But they're your audience, though.
There you go.
Some people just don't get
they
my
follow
comedy.
You for a reason.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit with NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM Channel 85. Navy Federal knows that you spent your whole holiday making sure that everything was perfect with the gifts and everyone gathered around the table, and that holidays are so expensive. So Navy Federal Credit Union helps you take control of your finances after the holidays. You can get a low intro APR on their Platinum credit card. It's their lowest rate card, a great tool to pay down debt. And beyond the holidays, Navy Federal even has multiple savings and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. They offer digital tools and educational resources to help guide your decisions. With Navy Federal, you can automate your saving and investing to put your money to work for you even as you sleep. That's the best possible time to make money, right? So plus you can buy fractional shares. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Message and data rates may apply. Savings products insured by NCUA and investment options are available through Navy Federal Investment Services and are not insured by NCUA. Okay. There was no football yesterday, with all due respect to the Pro Bowl. So there was no NFL competitive football yesterday.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it.
But it still doesn't mean that we can't overreact to stuff.
I mean, stuff still happens.
Overreaction Monday here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it. Hit it, Chris. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Okay, guys, as you just alluded to, Rich, there was a football game being played in Las Vegas, if that's what you want to call it.
Yes.
Not that compelling, so it's time to scrap the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's time.
No.
But we can't have guys out there just, like, going through the motions.
You can't fix it. It is what it is. Well, this is what it is.
Let's just not have it and just do a skills competition and put that in primetime. Like, that was really fun. Like, the dodgeball, we can get an actual race where the cheetah actually tries so we can see how fast he is. I mean, look, nobody likes it. Mm. We got all-time greats like Dion, like, tweeting about it. I mean, it's just time to get rid of it.
Yeah, I know. Dion threw in there that it is different. I remember when we first started covering it, that the guys didn't care, you know, all week. It was a lot of fun. And then the fourth quarter hit, and they started actually playing competitive football.
Because there's a monetary difference.
I know, because it's a difference between breaking even or not for the week.
Blowing up punters. Like, those days are over.
And so seeing these guys get together and play just even a small football game, I don't
So let's do 7-on-7 flag then. Like, let's have some fun with it, because nobody's taking it seriously, so let's actually fix it.
It's not fixable.
Then it's time to get rid of it.
I disagree. Just keep doing it. First of all, you got to name people to it. And then the problem is that a bunch of players, at least Mahomes and Kelsey and the Chiefs, they went. I mean,
because it was a free trip to Las Vegas.
I mean, I guess early on, I mean, how long is a free trip to Vegas or whatever? I mean, when Mahomes starts having multiple kids and growing up, will he take them there? Maybe. I don't know. I just remember Brady showing up back when he was young at the Pro Bowl, and it was great.
So are we going to move it back to Hawaii?
Maybe.
What if we do it in, like, the Bahamas or something? Like, nobody wants to go to Hawaii
anymore. Just switch it up, man. Just keep doing it. I don't care. But people who
but they have to figure out a way to make it semi quote competitive.
I thought it was fun. Mac Jones running the whole way and doing the gritty in the end zone. You need more of that. Need more of that. You know, how about this? Like, let you know, taunt all you want, dance all you want. Like, just, you know.
But we need actual football.
Fine, play it.
But they're not playing, and that's my point.
Okay.
So it's like,
well, I'm just I've just given up trying to figure it out. There's no fixing it. So just keep doing it and just know it for what it is. That's all. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, Joe Burrow, as we mentioned, have been talking about all day. We're going to talk about him all week. He's been talking. There's a big to-do about, like, what should be his nickname. It seems like he has a lot. He was asked about it today.
Okay.
Oh, man, I don't know. I have a lot of them. Just call me Joe. That's whatever anybody wants to call me is okay with me.
All right, my overreaction is this. I don't care what Joe Burrow says. Let's get this guy a nickname.
I want it. Joey. Didn't we? Somebody called him Joey Business. I love it. I like it.
Joey Business is good.
Joey Business.
Joe Burr. Like
Joe Business.
Joe Shite. I don't know. Like, we got to think of something.
At least it's not Joe Dirt.
We need something that sticks.
I think Joey Business is great.
All right.
I'll take that.
All right. So officially,
but, I mean,
on this
it's the
show,
same way.
Joey
you know,
Business.
When I try to give Mahomes the patrol, you know, because that was when the Showtime was being thrown out there, and he's probably just like, you know, He doesn't want to answer it. He doesn't want to say, oh, yeah, here's what you should do. Call me Joey whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, my God. Like, he's coming to the Super Bowl. Now he's saying, I want a nickname? Like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? He's got to shine it off. That's what he has to do.
Bengals win on Sunday. He can just, like, declare whatever his nickname is.
What else you got over there? Okay. Come on, let's go. Here.
Some more head coaches are dropping here in the NFL. Mike McDaniel from San Francisco. He's going to be the Dolphins head coach.
Yes.
So how about this? Mike McDaniel's going to have the Dolphins in the playoffs this year.
I think that would be a good idea. Yeah, man. I mean, Flores had him in the playoff run this year, and he had him in the playoff run the year before. So this is the team, and apparently McDaniel is keeping this staff pretty much the same. And he's coming in, and I've heard nothing but amazing things about this guy.
Yeah.
That he's fun, and he's funny, and he's chill, and he's intense, and he's... He's got everything down to a complete science and is going to rock this thing. They just don't, you know what they don't have? They don't have those big backs that are going to come
in. I was
going to
say, so now
you.
What is the offense going to look like?
I don't know.
Are they going to
channel
the San Francisco mold?
That's the idea.
And what do you do with Tua?
Bring some big, huge, like Gesicki's a guy that I think he's going to use really well.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, just upgrade, you know, beef up those run backs in a way. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and do it. But I thought it was a good hire. I think that's going to be
a
good hire.
Hot young name. Yeah. So
I mean, you heard Robert Saleh of the Jets, who knew him from the staff, going, I hope he doesn't come here. No, he's in the division.
Yeah, right.
Belichick, McDaniel, McDermott, and, you know, my guy, Saleh. So there's a McDermott and a McDaniel.
AFC is sneaky good next year. Okay. All right, a couple of association ones from over the weekend. I mean, TJ, your guy, he did it again. Like, Joel Embiid just destroyed the Bulls yesterday. Yes. Another 40-point game. Joel Embiid is the NBA MVP right now.
I think that's I'd have to agree with that right now.
He's killing
it. Who's playing better than him? I mean, Jokic is he's playing terrific basketball.
Playing terrific, but
Giannis
still
is doing his usual thing.
This guy is like single-handedly carrying this team.
Get Simmons out of there. Tell Seth Curry you're with him. And get Harden. If that's really what's going on right now. You know, that's what everybody's saying right now. Simmons pops it on his podcast.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about it. If that's the case, do it. And the question would be, then I would just turn to Houston and say, why the hell didn't you just do that to begin with?
Right.
Why do you have to ship him off to New Jersey?
Yeah. I don't know.
Why didn't that happen in the first place?
You think that pushes Philly over the top, getting Harden?
I don't know, because I keep telling you, how many times, like, oh, that's it. Harden's on that team. Oklahoma City was on the team. Oh, Harden's one of the, you know, he's never going anywhere until he goes somewhere. He's going on Houston. That's the end of that. Chris Paul comes. That's the end of that. It's Harden. Oh, well, let's see. He's going to the Nets. That's the end of that.
I mean, Steve
then
Nash
he's going to be on the Sixers.
Yeah, Steve Nash said yesterday Harden's not getting traded, but like, as we know, it's an 11th hour league, so we'll see what happens.
What's the other NBA?
All right, last one. The Nets problems. They lost again, 8 in a row now. It's all Kyrie's fault, I mean. Come on.
Well, I mean, that's a total Celtic thing, isn't it?
It's all his fault.
How about Durant's not? How about Durant's hurt? How about this team's 13-3 when all three of them play? How about let's see all three of them play and see what happens then? But the one thing about Kyrie is I told you, you can take down the NFL Films music, Mike. I told you this. He's like, he still hopes he can play home games. You know what? As if he can't control it. Right. It's out of his hands or it's not in his arm. Yeah. Out of his hands, folks. I hope I can play in New York home games. You know who can control that? You. That's who can control it, you. But no. He's hoping that the New York is going to, you know, loosen its rules as if it's not up to him. And he's going to keep saying that. But I'm not blaming the Nets' woes on Kyrie, okay? I think that's a simple and expedient thing to do. Let's see Durant healthy or get Harden out of there and switch it up. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I think we might.
Trey Wingo's coming here in hour number two. Dan Patrick, hour three. Chris Collinsworth after him here.
All right. Shout out everyone on Twitter. Daniel Kramer sent me two more. So of the seven Super Bowls in L.A., three have had lead changes in the second half.
Okay.
Miami was up 17-10 on Washington at the half.
Okay.
Before
Rigo went nutty.
Now the Commanders, went nuts in the second half. And Denver actually was leading the Giants 10-9 at the half before Phil Simms and company blew them out in the second half.
And then you say there were three lead changes? three or did you say two?
Yeah, and then the other one, the Steelers were losing to the Rams at halftime.
So the last time there was a lead change in the second half of a Los Angeles Super Bowl was the Parcells' first win?
Yeah.
86?
Denver was beating
calendar year 87?
The Giants 10-9 at the half.
I'm telling you, man. Bar set, but if there's any playoffs that can do it, the football gods are cackling.
Oh, I mean, the Bengals are going to be down 17 at some point in the third quarter. Then they're going to come all the way back and tie it. And
greatest divisional weekend ever.
It's going to be awesome.
Right? Both championship games decided by 3 points. Football gods saying, we got this, and we got a lead change or two in the bag for this one.
The Bengals are only comfortable in the playoffs when they're down by 10 or more.
Both championship teams came back from 10 down.
And then Joey Business does his thing.
And then overtime. Then Matty Business, right? Is that what I saw him? Stafford doesn't have a nickname.
Stafford.
Has he ever had a nickname?
Definitely not. Definitely.
Staff.
Not. Should we just start calling him the Sixth Sense?
Wow. The Ninth Sense?
I see water.
I see open cups.
Yeah. All right, so I put it on my poll. Who wins in a fight? Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, 83%.
Yeah, he fights dirty.
Yeah.
He fights dirty.
He's rich and things. Come on.
You filthy animals?
Yeah.
I believe you, but my Tommy gun don't.
Did you really post that poll question?
I actually tagged Macaulay
and... Is that the first poll question of Super
and
Bowl
Haley
week?
Joel. No, I did the most memorable LA Super Bowl.
Can we show this off, please,
by the way,
one more
Rich.
Time? Hoskins, let's do... No, don't, by the way. Look, we got the Vince Lombardi trophy here, guys. Come on. Look at this baby.
I mean,
look
at that is...
Hey, speaking of a by the way...
Look at that.
You notice how, like, the Sean McVay, Calvin Johnson story is like, everywhere us? Now, all of a
because
sudden?
Because of us?
I love... Well, no, SportsCenter, like, put out a tweet about it, and now everyone's like, this was cool when I learned about it last week on the Eisen Show.
We have a trophy!
Respect me.
Trey Wingo coming up.